You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Anthony.
Hello.
Dwayne.
Hello.
And me, Brian. No, Niall, we believe he's at work.
That's right.
If we're wrong, he's annoyed, wondering why we're not calling it. So, this week is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Episode 4, The Nijimura Brothers, Part 2. And I do believe it's Dwayne's turn to do the synopsis.
Uh-oh! Oh, right, let's see. So, we start where we left off last episode with JoJo about to head into the house. Well, I suppose I should specify, Josuke about to head into the house. After his friend Koichi, who is bleeding out of the neck for some amount of time for the run of this episode. The stupid guy is basically coming in after him. What's that guy's name again?
Okuyasu?
Yeah, that's it.
They probably Okuyasu. Say it much better than I do, but yeah.
he's very misunderstanding of like why he's like, he's stuck outside still from being pelted with pots in the head. And when he kind of comes in, like sort of blunders into the scene, JoJo like definitely dodges whatever the hell the attack is. It's some weird kind of little pinprick pattern that appears on the younger Nijimura brother appears on his face because he's just kind of like, dude, you know how your brother attacks, or presumably you do, so you shouldn't really get in the way. So he kind of goes down pretty quick, and Josuke gets injured in the hand when he gets hit again by the same attack while pulling your man out of a hole in the wall he's just made. And then he threatens him outside. He's like, hey, tell me your brother's secret of his stand power, and I'll totally like heal you up. And he's like, no way. I'm not going to rat, man. But he's like, I guess I'm going to do it. It looks like he's about to beat the shit out of him. And he just goes like, I'll heal you anyway because I'm a good guy and that's what I'm going to do. And the idiot does not understand this at all. He's very confused by this whole thing for the rest of the episode. So while he's sneaking into the house, JoJo's sneaking into the house, he's figuring, he attacks from the shadows, and I don't exactly know what his stand does. And he's following a very obvious blood trail. It's a trap. Your man set him up to go where he wants him to go. Going up the stairs, following the blood trail, and he... he just kind of walked. I love him blundering in behind him and just going like, hey, explain to me why you saved me. I don't understand. I'm an idiot, so you have to explain it to me. Which was great. It's like, at least he knows his own limitations. unlike some of the idiots on JoJo so far. But he's made.
Yeah, Josuke's about to go in and he grabs.
Yeah. Him. Yeah, Koichi's like in the middle of a darkened room kind of thing, and it's like, it's clear, like, this is a fucking setup kind of thing. And the younger Nijimura brother, like, moves the space between them so he doesn't have to go into the room. He's like, I'll do you this one favor, but I'm not going to help you beat up my brother.
But he also says he's not going to help his brother beat up him.
Yeah. That's the favor kind of thing. And as the two guys, Josuke heals him anyway, and... as the two of them are kind of like, okay, now we got to get out of this mansion alive. And it's like, what was that in the corner? And what seems to be a little man running along the skirting board, hiding up the corner. Is like, oh, he's only got like a tiny little stand. Okay, we can take care of this. So as he's about to send, they call it Shining Diamond in the subtitles.
But yeah, it's Crazy Diamond. Crazy Diamond, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
Bad Company.
Bad Company is
the what was it translated to? Like Worse Company.
Worse Company. Which
is all bad than worse.
But you can hear it being said, so.
Yeah. Bad old company.
And his collar says bad.
Bad CO, company. Yeah. Yes. Initially, I thought it said bad guy on his collar, so I thought it was a bit on the nose. Yeah. Bad guy. But yeah, Josuke's about to punch the little guy, and it turns out it's lots of army men. Brian, you might know this. What was that guy in, like, he was in the Beano and stuff like that? He was like Major Jumbo?
Yeah,
something?
General Jumbo.
General Jumbo. Yeah, his stand power is a tiny army.
And in,
toy army.
Alan Moore's top 10, they've got Toy Box as a similar thing.
Yeah, so his thing is like a little bunch of army men. I mean, like, they all got weird stand faces, but they're basically like, you know, the little plastic soldiers you get in a pound shop in a big bag. But yeah, they all jump off the skirting board after firing some shots, and they all have little parachutes because they're little army men. And somehow this is supposed to be very threatening, but I couldn't help but find it incredibly amusing.
Well, you've seen what damage it can do.
Well, yeah, they shoot actual bullets, so yeah.
And then he breaks out the tanks and the helicopter.
Yeah, and then he breaks out the Apache. Those are Apache helicopters. Because he used to play with toy soldiers when he was a kid as well. He knows what they're at. Yeah, so he can't escape out. And the... Is it the... Is that when Koichi starts demonstrating like a stand power, or
because Koichi says, "Watch out! There's a tank."
Oh, he can see them. Like, that's how he knows. Yeah, yeah. Them. If you can see a stand, then you have a stand. That kind of thing. Yeah. So your man suddenly appears in the room as if he was there the entire time. The older Nijimura brother. He's like, "Oh, you got stand powers. I want to see your stand powers. So totally do your stand powers now." And he's kind of like stepping back. He's like, "Okay, I won't shoot you. Just show me what you got." And it's like, "Hey, Josuke, help him out." It's like, tell him how to use stand powers. And he's like, okay, you just get like really mad, or, you know, you want to like protect someone, or you want to beat someone's face in. That's just what you do. And the little kid's just freaking out. He's like, what the fuck? I don't even know what you're talking about. So he has to kind of bring it out of him with like this little army commando dude with a knife, which is crazy. Like, that was threatening. Like, a little dude with a knife in his teeth on your neck. That's pretty bad.
It's the way it stabs him as well.
Yeah.
It's not just... a little nick with a toothpick.
He takes a chunk out of him, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
Well, he's a commando, so he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, true. Trying to kill.
Yeah, so he takes a chunk out of him, and Koichi generates his stand, which appears to be very Piccolo-esque, and then he coughs up a big egg. And we don't know what the egg is, but the older Nijimura brother is very interested in this. He thinks, oh, that looks like a really good stand. I bet it hatches into something awesome, is I guess what he's thinking. Or maybe he just knows a stand when he sees it. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, after that, he's decided to kill Josuke and just take care of your man later, just to see if he has the stand that he's looking for. So that's why he's going around shooting people with arrows. He's trying to get a specific stand out of someone. So he has them all, like, lined up with his army. He's kind of slightly annoyed that he managed to take out, was it, two or three of his little guys before, because the formation isn't perfect.
Yes.
He likes things just right. You know, if he says he's going to shoot you in the legs and then in the arm and then he's going to blow your face off, he's going to do specifically in that order, because he's very exact. So, I mean, like, the freaking toy army must have been, like, perfect for him. It's like, oh, brilliant, I can do, like, little formations and shit. Yeah, but so he has him pinned against the wall, and he's like, okay, I'm totally going to shoot you in the leg. He's like, well, you've told me your plan now, so I'm totally going to, you know, I'm going to know where you're going to attack, and I can counter that. And he's like, ah, well, no, you're not, because I'm going to do all kinds of sneaky stuff around with it. And it was the soldiers, he initially punched away the soldiers' bullets, but then they were like, I forgot actually how he ended up shooting him in the legs. Oh, it was tiny little toy.
Yeah, he stepped on a landmine.
He stepped on a tiny toy landmine. I forgot.
Which would hurt like hell.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it's only a little landmine, but these things apparently do a lot of damage. But, yeah, and then while he's going down, the Apaches shoot missiles at his arm.
Yeah.
He deflects a bunch of them, but a few of them, like, hit him in the arm, and so he has him down. He's like, I love it when a plan comes together. Which they kind of missed the trick. I'm not translating as that, but anyway, and I thought it was like, I know exactly what's going to happen here. It's like, dude, he broke some of your, I thought it was going to be the bullets as well, but he destroyed some of your missiles, so he just reforms them and sends them right back at your man's face.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that's kind of where we're cutting out for the next episode. So yep, I think I covered most things there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much just a fight this week.
The blow for blow, anyway.
Yeah.
Which I'm happy with.
Soon we'll get some more information next week.
A part three. I thought it was going to end on this one, you know, the two-parters.
No, straight into part three next week.
Yeah. So how are you finding this one?
This was fine. It was a little less visually impressive than the first three episodes, but...
Well, okay. We're stuck in a house.
Yeah.
So I'll
It felt more like back to the horror movie.
Yeah, yeah.
JoJo's we're familiar with from part three.
Yeah, probably something off Puppet Master like before.
Yeah. Except that's undermined by your idiot just wandering around shouting inside
the
house.
He was fucking great, because he meant to sneak around, look for the thing. He's like, hey, explain it to me. I don't understand. And his brother calls him an idiot, and everyone thinks he's an idiot. But unlike most of the idiots so far in JoJo, he's not aware that he's an idiot. You know, like Polnareff, he is aware he's an idiot, unlike Polnareff, who didn't know he was an idiot.
Polnareff thinks he's great.
Yeah.
Polnareff is great.
He's like, this is the Polnareff show, and all of you are side characters.
I like the intro now.
Yeah, is it growing
again? Yeah, I like it now. I like it. It's good.
I still like the outro.
Yeah, slowly eroding me. Have you seen the... there's like a singles collection coming out with Josuke on the cover.
Is that actually real?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Brilliant.
I think it was on Crunchyroll today.
Yeah, I just assumed it was a joke.
But remember,
it just sounds
that's
too
what,
good to be true.
But that's what happened with Pat Metheny Group.
Yeah.
It had a JoJo's cover.
And I guess Savage Garden could do with a boost of popularity.
Get some of that sweet JoJo's money.
Mm.
Good
episode. Can't wait.
A rally, he's going to visit Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
Ooh. Is this hot off the press?
It's hot off the presses, yes. Oh. An hour ago. The May 15th episode to feature a rally.
Nice.
Hmm.
And yeah, Savage Garden Singles Collection gets a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Diamond is Unbreakable anime cover.
Oh, man. I wonder how long they've known they were going to be on the outro. Like, it would be such a good feel. Imagine if they were JoJo's fans as well. It would be the ultimate compliment.
I wonder if it's just the case of a what, JoJo? It's like, what is this?
Probably. Probably.
They're probably checking it out now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're probably loving it.
Who would not love it?
That's true.
Right, what do you want to do next? We'll go
around. Do I go Dragon Ball?
You want to do Dragon Ball Super, Anthony?
The smaller hitters.
Yeah. Dragon Ball Super, a counterattack with an improved time skip. Will Goku's new move be unleashed? Question is answered in this episode. Yes, it will. No, technically, it's an old one, which he's finally able to use again.
I think I'm really loving about this tournament arc is they keep it's kind of like a greatest hits thing. They keep bringing back the old stuff, which I love. Like, you know,
the thing is, I'm sure he's been able to use that.
That was in a filler, so it doesn't care.
My point being is that it just wasn't that strong anymore. That's why I thought he'd never used it.
Yeah, because he, in this, so basically he uses the Kaioken again, and I think in filler he'd used it with Super Saiyan form, but not in canon.
Yeah.
I was wondering if we're going to do something dumb, like go the, what's it, Super Saiyan 3, where you get all the really long hair?
And no eyebrows.
No eyebrows,
He explains he's finally able to do it properly with this Super Saiyan form, because Super Saiyan Blue, he's calm rather than angry.
Oh, was that the explanation?
Yeah, that's the explanation he gave, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the move. Kaioken's a great
Also, move. He looks like the, you know, like the flame on like a gas cooker, because he's got blue in the middle and red on the outside. That's good stuff. And you also got the thing of getting closer and closer to Dio levels of time stop ability.
Yes. Well, yes, because the gist of this episode is that Hit can't quite beat Goku, so he decides that he's going to have to
grow.
Initially, I thought, has he gotten taller? So it's like, I thought it was something simple like that.
So it's finally a 1,000-year-old man is going to have to improve his battle techniques.
Which he does like a fake power-up.
He does, yes.
Because Goku's like, oh, his power didn't increase at all after all that screaming. And also, you think he made the comment, it's like, whoa, you guys power up by shouting in your universe too? That's great. It's like a fucking schoolyard thing.
It's very meta, isn't it?
Yeah, it
particularly
is.
Because
having a lot of fun with it.
If you weren't getting it, Krillin does complain halfway through, in case you weren't getting what they were going for, is that Krillin complains that the opponent is growing during a fight when he says, that's Goku's thing.
Yeah, that's what he does. Come on. That's not fair. That's his bit.
So doesn't he get sort of 0.1 of a second, it's 0.2?
Yeah, he doubles it.
Which is pretty damn good.
And then he multiplies it by 5, I think. Like, point, he can freeze time for half a second now.
Which is such a long time.
Yeah, for people who
especially
can move
for these speed. People.
So yeah. Goku's like, oh, excellent. Now I get to try my new move, which is...
which is his old move.
His old move, but this time with combined with being Super Saiyan.
It's a remix. Super it's Saiyan like, Blue. It's a remix. Yeah, it's like they're mixing the two tracks together to make something new.
And now he can go 10 times as well.
So well, I always thought he could go 10 times Kyoken. I'm sure
I think it was a different multiplier before.
There is.
Yeah.
Well, you do see the flashback of the Saiyan Saga back in the day. And
when he looked like he was the most roided he's ever been.
Which I love that art. Like, I think it looked great. when this showed, I was like, oh, God, I miss how this used to look.
After. He has done times 10 before.
It must be on the Freezer Saga he did that.
Against Lord Slug, which obviously not canon, he went times 100.
Times 100? Oh, yes. Gosh.
Oh, dear.
That's a big step. Oh, man. Oh, but I love now how we can kind of step within the frozen time world of...
Yeah, he's moving so fast, he's actually moving in frozen time.
Yes. Yeah, that's
he's so fast at some point, the artists don't have to draw him.
Yeah, you just have a dude standing in the middle of an arena just looking around.
He's so fast, I can't see him.
But what is he doing when he's so fast you can't see him? Is he just running around instead of hitting him?
Yeah.
I do like hit, though. I still like it.
Yeah, he gets a lot more, like, he's been, like, the stoic this entire time, and everyone makes the comment of, like, come on, hit, just fucking, well, you know, hit him. And he's just like, no, I'm going to let him get up. That kind of thing. You know, it's like, I want to see where this goes. This is actually, I'm really enjoying this now. And the Kais are saying, it's like, oh, he's talking like a fighter all of a sudden. It's like, why does he want to increase his power level? The old Kai is like, that's the power of Goku. He makes you want to be better. That's fighting.
Of course, Vegeta is just fuming all the way through.
Oh my God, he's getting so annoyed. He's great. He's just like, God damn it, I want to be the strongest one. This is bullshit.
He's always angry, but this is the most angry I've seen him in a while.
Yeah.
Next week, we get to find out who won.
Any predictions? And it's not as obvious as...
It's not, no.
I feel like... what's Lady Whis's name? Vados?
Yeah.
Vados? I feel like she's going to cheat. Because she seems to be like sniggering away at herself.
We've still got Monica after that. Still another fighter.
Oh, God, yeah. I honestly wish Monica was just some cheap way of him stealing the Dragon Balls, but yeah, Monica's just some dude he picked up.
Get an explanation of exactly what his deal is.
There was a lot of good crowd reactions. I think one of my favourite ones was, God damn it, I've forgotten his name, Beerus Scone. It's like, wait a minute, he was planning on saving that move to use on me? That piece of shit. He should have used that earlier in the fight and this would have been over. It just really annoyed at him for not using his secret Beerus killing technique earlier.
And there's a good bit where Champa's like getting so worried that he starts rubbing both of his ears as well.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, it's full on proper Dragon Ball.
Yeah, this one felt like full on serious fighting mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, the stakes are weird. I'm not sure if I should feel a threat because if...
No, because you're always thinking if they lose...
That's still bad.
Yeah, even if they lose, all Goku's going to say, oh, great, and the whole new universe of people I can fight.
Yeah, he's probably going to be happy with that situation. I think that's the best case scenario is losing because I don't know if you should give Beerus the Super Dragon Balls. It seems like a really bad idea.
What is their actual goal? Because bear in mind, I know that for the Dragon Balls, but...
It's the Super Dragon Balls, the giant planet-sized ones.
Champa wants to win the Super Dragon Balls so he can swap Earths. Because
his Earth is a wasteland. It's, no one's there. Everyone's dead. And if he swaps it with Earth, he'll get the most beautiful food in the world, or in the universes, instant noodles.
Why does he have to swap with the
Because his Earth is destroyed.
Yeah, but with the power of a big Dragon Ball, surely you could just wish it to
be
good.
No, you need 7 Dragon Balls. He only has 6.
Well, no, even with the power of... Even once he gets to 7, why doesn't he just...
Because
why does he have to swap
our
Earth? Because
it will piss Beerus off.
Yes, that
But why does he care?
He likes the food
brother.
From Earth
he wants
as well.
To piss off his brother.
Yes, food.
He likes
brothers.
Food more than Beerus.
Yeah. They just... apparently they both came from the same universe originally, but...
Hmm.
I don't know. I kind of think there's going to be more stuff involving those cubes, and they'll travel to other universes.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've established there's, fuck, how many more universes is there? There's 12 in all, is there?
Yes, there's 12 in all. And there's like six sets of twins.
Mm. So we've a lot more guys to cover.
Yeah, and presumably the other universes will have, like, weirder people than...
Have they said, like, what the next arc's going to be? That kind of thing. I don't know.
I don't know.
The manga at the moment.
Say, all we know, apparently, is that a rally is on the way. Which was, I believe, what I said wanted to happen.
Yeah.
At the start of the show.
So we can assume her universe is one of the other universes.
No, she's from the Dragon Ball universe. Yeah.
Our universe. Okay.
Because they visit it in Dragon Ball. They go to Penguin Village.
Ah, right.
Unless, of course, this is an alternate universe.
Gosh. Dragon Ball is all going to get retconned.
She's from her version of a mirror universe of... Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Righty-ho, that was Dragon Ball Super, and it still is Super.
No.
It's good to go, is that the arc will only take about 13, 14 episodes, isn't it, overall, I think? Something like that. If it finishes on episode 40, I think it started... mid-20s.
Yeah. Not bad goal.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's been a pretty good show, except where it was adapting the movie.
Yeah. It's been a good show through this arc and through the first four episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
And some of the stuff in the Resurrection F's fight as well. Like we get the return of Ginya is something which isn't in the movie.
Oh, that's not in the movie. No. Oh shit. Okay.
I wonder as well. Had we not seen Battle of Gods, would we be more into the first?
I don't think so because that fight takes a long time. Whereas the Resurrection F stuff. They don't like drag out. I think when we talked about Resurrection F on Dynamite in the Brain, I was complaining that there wasn't enough story. So I think the difference is rather than drag out the story with fights, they've taken Resurrection F and stuffed more plot into it.
Mm, okay. Oh, so that bit works a little better than.
Yeah, I've not watched all of it, but what I've seen of it, it was more plot stuff like Ginya returning.
Okay.
And more of Frieza being a prissy little bully to his
best trait.
He's just so ungrateful. That's the thing which is lacking in the movie, is he's far, far more ungrateful about being resurrected in the TV series. And it is pretty funny. Right, what do you want to pick next, Dwayne?
Something that's not, it's not super. Lost Village.
Lost Village. I even forgot to write down what the Lost Village was called.
What was it called?
This week's episode. What was it called?
Oh, I think it meant like the show. Okay.
No. The Lost Village. Aloof was episode 3. So, quickly, at the start of the episode, we find out where one of the two missing people is. She's in the woods and she's injured. And they find some giant claw marks in a tree. And I forget everybody's name, apart from...
Yeah. If you can remember vague descriptions, like angry guy.
The guy who's ostensibly our main character.
Yeah.
He also sees a giant eye in the bushes, and it's a giant photorealistic normal human being's eye rather than an anime character's eye. And it must be gigantic.
Was it just the video footage of someone's eye?
I'm not sure. I think it was...
Yeah. It was edited in some regard. Photoshop filter or something. Yeah.
But yeah, because I was looking at it, he's seen an eye. But then I took the screenshot of it, and I was like, oh no, those leaves are tiny. It is a gigantic eye.
Okay, right.
Then credits roll, and it goes downhill from there. But that was enough of a touch of weirdness that it hooked me in more than the first two episodes had done.
It's not enough. I need more.
Then basically they victim shame the survivor
of the girl who didn't survive. That was fucking, like, I'm waiting for ages for them. Their female characters are terrible in this. Like, initially they're all like, oh, I don't know if we should do that, and then someone says, come on, we're gonna fucking do it, and then they all go for it, and it's like, come on, let's make lunch for the boys.
One of them wants to execute her.
What? Yeah, but she's the only female character who wants to actively do anything, and she's the detective girl
as well.
She's mostly sitting back and watching shit happen rather than getting stuck in like the angry dude.
Yeah, so the angriest dude goes off to look for them and drags some people along, including one who apparently needs medicine, so I don't know, it seems like a really bad idea to move away to a village
like,
in the middle of nowhere.
But I'm very sickly, I need my medication. It's like, yeah, but you only have a limited amount of medication. What did you think was going to happen? These stupid characters.
And we get a little bit of flashback, and apparently he saw... It seemed like he saw somebody he knew who he wasn't expecting to see here. The guy who's gone missing.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing which hooked me, because it was like kind of the
hooked,
sense...
yeah?
Yeah, because I think this episode kind of gave you a sense of what they were going for, because you've got that, and you've got the bit where the character of Jack, somebody remembers when he's on trial, because later on he attacks the guy with the crazy name who's complaining about
his... It's Jack. I remember those two names. It's Jack and Justice. And Justice feels that Jack's name is too close to his because it also begins with a J.
But it's much longer than Justice, though.
It's a different name. It's a different word. So, nothing like yours. Yeah, and also, that dude, I saw it, when he went to sleep, he took off his eye patch. That dude is not a real pirate.
No. So, yes, so he got annoyed, and there's Jack attacked him, and they go, oh, Jack. And then somebody remembered that apparently he'd been expelled from school for attacking somebody previously.
Maybe stabbing someone or something, yeah. I think that was the suggestion.
And so your crazy girl...
They decide to lock him up in a prison they find in a shed.
Yeah. It was the sense that they've come here to escape, but they can't escape.
Yeah, there's too many interconnected things still going on. I think that's what they're trying to go for, yeah.
The but also the weird stuff with the claws and the giant eye suggests there's something else going on as well.
Mm.
And they think it's a bear, but because it's a Mizushima show, it's probably a giant killer rabbit. Because this would, I think, would be the fourth or fifth show if it was a rabbit that he's put a rabbit in.
So you're getting geared up for that.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I watched this half asleep on a Saturday morning, where that seems
the ideal way to watch it. I think.
Yeah,
I could see how you could enjoy it like that.
I'm not saying I enjoy it, but I could get through an episode.
I had such trouble getting through this one, man. I was like, changing back between like the episode title, fucking aloof, and just being straight up angry at the show for being so bad. Just not getting to a point. It's just setting up loads of things for itself. It's like, ooh, what's the deal with that eye? Ooh, what's the deal with that clause? Ooh, what's the deal with... And it's like, I don't fucking care about any of these characters. You needed to make me do that before I care about any of this mystery. You know?
I feel I'd be more than content to just let the show finish and then read what happened.
Yeah.
See, like because I was watching this, and I was halfway through, and I thought, you know what? I can't be bothered. I did something else when it was on in the background. So, yes, I may have missed some of the more intriguing aspects of the story, but it's a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
I am so off with it. Like, it is just not my... Oh, he fell off my chair. Like, I broke my arm of my chair last week, and I just leant in the... Either way.
Anyway, you've got... The lad who went missing turns up at the end of the episode floating face down in the river.
Okay, that was him. I just wanted to make sure that. Again, it's like, oh my god, is he dead? Is he fucking thing?
Can I remember which of the 30 characters he was?
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, I know that's someone I know, but I don't particularly care who's dead now. When the crazy woman, the one who... Well, I think they're all kind of crazy in their own regard, but the one who specifically wants to execute people all the time, when she was disappointed at the other two for they wanted to go visit the Jack in prison, she decides, because wait, you don't want to fucking execute him? That's what I came here for. She like knocks your man off a bridge, starts strangling him underwater, and the only reason he gets away is because he's distracted by her breasts. That's you're being strangled, dude. Priorities, okay? Oh my god, it's such a dumb show.
Add this from your the writer of your favorite show, called Fujiko Mine.
I mean, yeah, that's fine, but that might have been her one thing that I like.
What about her other thing, which Dwayne made me watch another episode of, telling me it was better this week?
It was better than that fucking show.
Kiss Naiva episode 2.
Last Village.
Yeah.
And the episode is called, If You Can Swallow a Bizarre Situation Like This So Easily, Two Buckets of Barium Shouldn't Be a Problem.
It's not a good episode title.
I was about to say that.
Not a good episode either.
I thought it was better than the last one because at least it has a bit of humor in it than the last one, which kind of took everything a bit too seriously for my liking, you know?
I watched this fully awake, and I was like, Anthony, I was drifting off watching it.
Okay.
It didn't grab me, so I wasn't really paying attention.
No, that's fair enough.
I liked it better when it was focused on the teachers than these kids.
Okay, the kind of guys put on the strings. Yeah. And trying to get the tasty buns out of the thing that tasted like paper or something.
Something like that, yes. The teacher who apparently just wears a sleeping mask all day at school.
For when you take power naps, you know?
Mm. It still looks great.
Yeah, it's a very good looking show.
But yeah, this is the opposite problem with Lost Village, is that Lost Village has a lot of annoying characters, because there's so many of them, you don't spend so long with them. Whereas there's 7 annoying characters in this, and you kind of have to spend more time with them.
This is the one show that I was excited for-ish, and I keep forgetting to bloody watch it. So I keep seeing people diss it on Twitter, like saying,
I'm not sure if we should, I mean, like, I would definitely say let's drop Lost Village, but I'm not sure we should continue watching it. I think you're right, Anthony, it seems like a plot that would be more suited towards, what's that name of that studio? They made a 999 and Virtue's
Zero
Life.
Dilemma. Zero Escape.
Yeah. It seems like the one of those kind of visual novel kind of games with the weird premise and you're locked in a place and you got to work together, that kind of thing.
Which would be, it would be
a seems like it would work like that.
Yeah, because you'd be more involved rather than just watching these people who you forget every 2 seconds. Was he there before? I don't remember seeing him.
Yeah, I don't mean that as a negative thing. I just think the format of it as a show doesn't really work.
We tried. I mean, yeah. I think Brian wants to keep watching it.
I'm going to carry on watching Lost Village, even if the rest of you aren't, but...
Okay.
Are you two going to continue watching Kiz Naiva or start watching it in Anthony's case?
I do want to give it a try because...
Well, if you're not interested, I don't want to, like, I don't want to be dragging you into something that you don't want to watch.
Oh, no, I will give it a try.
He's got time now. He's not watching Lost Village, so...
Yeah, I will replace the Lost Village with Kiz Naiva.
So where the time I've got to watch Lost Village is the time I'm not spending watching Joker Game. So did you two watch Joker Game this week?
Yeah.
So I did not. So what happened?
It's a lot better. But again, the slight problem at the start is, it's like, okay, I think that's one of the spies from the start, but they all kind of look the same. He's good for a spy, but I was like, I'm not sure which guy this is. I think it's the shortest
The
spy.
Little shit. Yeah. I'll describe as the little arsehole one.
Yeah.
And the nice, because he's a good character. You know, the one who's kind of, when he's playing the Joker game. Yeah, the bad man of the Joker game section. You know, when they're actually playing cards. I think he's the instigator of the moment.
Yeah, he's the one who's had the most interaction with the military.
Sukuma, is it Sukuma?
Yeah. Sukuma.
Yeah. Should I try and handle this?
Go for it.
I'm going to drop it on its head because it's a bit of a complex one at times. Yeah, so it's in a... Rather than wherever we've been previously, it's a new story. We're following Shimano Ryunosuke, which is the little one, we think, of the spy group.
What's also confusing is he has amnesia, and he remembers having a different name because it's on his presumably false passport.
Yes. So the idea is he's woke up in this household in France, and everyone's looking at him funny when he wakes up, and they're saying, look, you've been speaking Russian, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. There's some text across the room that is he can only see from a reflection in a mirror, yet he reads the text out perfectly, so they realise, yeah, this guy's skilled. And the reason he's there is because the Germans came to this village about to execute an old lady for whatever she did.
I think she was given out to one of the commanding officers or something.
Yeah, and so to set an example, they're going to shoot her. And he goes over, unties her from the tree. The Germans club him over the head with a rifle butt. Thus, he's knocked out, and then he wakes up with these the French individuals. And it turns out that these individuals are part of the resistance.
Yeah, they're very quick to reveal that.
They are. I think it's because they think this guy's pretty skilled. But yes, they are.
I think it's also that they're in a house while the occupying forces of the Germans are searching the houses for resistance members and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here's the deal. Here's the setup.
And Shimano was like, right, I've got a plan. He's just woke up from a deep sleep, I presume, but he's back on the ball. He gets given a gun that has its trigger jammed, and he's like, well, how's it got like this, blah, blah, but I'll fix it. He fixes it. The Germans show up just outside the house and so on. They have no explosives, but he sets up this dust bomb.
I think it's like a pyrotechnic thing with a bag of flour, isn't it?
Yeah, he asks, have you got any flour that's been used for baking? And basically he fills the room with flour, and it apparently causes some reaction with the air when they turn on.
Yeah, the light switch, when they switch it on, he smashed the bulb, so it ignites the filament of the bulb ignites the the dust.
Yes.
Yeah, which I didn't know was a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. When I worked at Golden West, who were the bakers for McDonald's, one time there was a dust explosion and in the flour silo, and it blew the top off the silo.
Woo!
This is what it's supposed to do, because otherwise, that way it doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
But it covered the entire car park in flour.
Oh, fantastic.
And then it rained, and someone was in a convertible, and they hadn't put the roof on. So they came back with glue, all in their flowery glue in their car.
And I'd never seen that utilized before in anything. It probably has been many times.
You can find plenty of YouTube videos of people exploding flour.
I've never heard of
Done food science and food technology, this was something we were warned about and explained how to.
Yeah, I think one of the most combustible things is it's powdered coffee creamer, isn't it? Because it's really fine, it can actually catch fire pretty quick.
Yeah, it all depends on like granule size. It was the thing really didn't like, so that was why I went with food science rather than the food technology after the first year. It was like, this is too complicated for me. It's too much like physics.
Safety reasons, how do you
prevent it? Just out of curiosity.
Just keep the place flame free and try and make sure everything's bagged up.
Yeah,
so
sort of
get
manage
the air.
Pressures and things.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I've got just a bedroom, I've got nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about there.
I don't think dust is combustible, but yeah, a lot of these things are. I looked it up. I initially was thinking I don't think the filament of the light bulb would have been enough to do it, but then I was thinking, oh wait, these are very these are 1940s electricity things, so it's going to be a lot less, surge protected and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you did the MacGyver checkover.
Yeah, I did. I looked it up.
God knows how he got so much air pressure in this room in the space.
Well, he did say
minutes.
to get the bellows from the fire, so he could spread it really quick. Yeah, that's why they were like, "Have you got any dynamite or guns?" It's like, "Okay, we got one gun." It's like, "Okay, have you got a bellows?" They're like, "What?" So he's teaching the French Resistance as well.
Yeah, I'm getting beat by Joker game here with this knowledge. But the Germans knock on the door, they burst in, turn on the light, poof, they go. They run out, I guess.
They run out the back door, because the Germans were actually planning on them to run out the back door, but as soon as they see the place explode, they're like, holy shit, and run around trying to figure out what's going on.
The three individuals, I know one's called Alan.
I assume it's Alan because he's French.
Alan, yeah.
Right, you got the guy with the brown hair, you got the blonde dude who looks ripped, and you got the lady with the freckles.
And they're like, right, we're going to come to the resistance with us. Shimano, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
And spoilers, the woman's a traitor.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you see the setup earlier on where he's kind of looking at him and trying to judge which one. Like, he seems to know, despite not having his memories, instinctively how to do things, and he's also sizing them up as to which one was the traitor kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it seems to be pushing you towards the big blonde guy, because he's really, against the guy and really angry with him all the time and stuff. But it was your one's question of, did you figure out what was wrong with the gun? Because nobody else kind of asked him. And it's like, oh, is that because she sabotaged the gun?
And she did.
Yeah.
He grabs her with the gun, Shimano, and the blonde guy cracks him over the back of the head. Because
the one thing he didn't expect. He didn't expect that dude fancied the lady.
And he wakes up and he's like, thanks. Well, he pretty much says thanks for that because that brought his memories back. And I presume at that point both of them are dead.
Which the two that ran off?
Oh, did they run off?
They're collaborators. The I assume they just ran off to the German side.
I thought the
woman was a collaborator because they were threatening her family, and then your man obviously went off with her. So
I just assumed he'd killed them both.
Mm.
Because who was left is the other dude, the brown haired guy, Shimano, and they shake hands, address each other, and it's revealed that this entire thing was all part of his plan, except getting hit over the head
and losing his memory.
Yeah, but which is the main miscalculation of the episode, which is...
Yeah, the thing of him, that class, every now and again, you'll get whacked over the head and lose your memory, but that's okay. Just have a voice of yourself inside your head telling you what to do, and everything's going to work out.
that's the end of Grant Morrison's Batman run, isn't it?
Yeah,
where Batman has a backup personality.
Built into him, of Batman of Zor-En-Arr or something, isn't it? See, I thought it was that he hypnotized himself so that they couldn't possibly detect that he was a spy because he doesn't know he's a spy himself. I thought it was something like that. But just, he actually got whacked over the head. And I was like, really? That was... Okay, fine.
I like this episode, though. I think it's...
There's a lot of good bits in it, yeah.
And it's just a one-off. It's a one-off story, and I presume next week's, I forget which character it's going to follow, but it's something different. But I like the story setup in this. It's it worked. And
yeah, I'm wondering if they're kind of going to do these little small case studies and stuff. And the kind of thing of them realizing that war is hell, man. When he goes into the church to give his information and he realizes that their chief is there, so it's like, oh, shit, the only reason he'd be here and calling me back out of duty is like what was it that we're joining the Axis?
Axis, yeah. That's the only reason why he would be there.
Japan aren't in the war yet, like, so.
Yeah.
He realizes what sides are falling on which kind of line, end of the line.
I'm all for these little short episodes, well, not short episodes, but I'm all for these little individual stories to build the characters, but I would like a larger plot to end it all off with.
Yes, my understanding is the books are, these individual stories.
But they seem interesting enough in terms of the plot, and because I didn't predict the woman was going to be a traitor. I felt something was up because it was all going a little too well. But
I worry if they drag this out to like multiple episodes, like a plot where there's kind of back and forth in the spy game, that kind of thing. If like in episode 3, you're going to have to refer back to shit that happened in episode 1 to see the context of like, I actually picked up on what you did there. And that's why I did this. And, you know, is it going to become a bit convoluted and difficult to...
The live-action movie basically took a bunch of the stories and combined them all into one story and just picked one of the spies to be the character.
The main...
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas it sounds like it would work quite well. But I'm happy with this still. I felt a bit off with last week's episode, but...
See, that was the thing. Like, they kept, like, the second episode was just referring back to events that we didn't know that happened in episode 1.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm kind of worried that the more long form.
It does next week. Oh, well, to be honest, I get what you're saying, but hopefully there's a lot like this week's, which there's nothing else to say about this episode than to expect anyway. If they go back and re-go over the shit in this, I'm off the show. I'm done.
Okay.
So I didn't watch Joker Game on the Tuesday. I think that's when it comes out. But what I did watch on Tuesday was,
Joker?
Of course... No, Shonen Ashibe Go-Go Gamachan. Which this week was I Want to Eat an Ice Pop. I thought this was a much better than last week's episode.
Yeah, it has the same premise, but it has lots of different scenes and places for stuff to happen. And I got to say, right... What's the kid? Ashibe.
Yeah.
Ashibe is smarter than every fucking character in Lost Village. Because he figure out the wants of a seal who can't express human words just by its mood. And I was like, oh, that's smart. Whereas everyone in fucking Lost Village is a moron.
Yeah, so Ashibe asks for 100 yen coin to go and buy it.
A nice lolly.
A nice lolly, yes. So he does that, goes off without... Gomer. Gomer apparently can understand humans, much in the way Ruke can. Although when he comes back with a lolly, then he figures out that, oh yes, coin equals lollipop. So then the seal starts going round to mum and dad asking for a coin.
Yeah, putting out a flipper, and it's like, oh, you want a shake? Okay.
But as I say, Ashibe figures that out. Also, a baby comes round, and... Mum shows the seal pictures of Ashibe as a baby as well. And so the seal decides that he's going to...
Logical reasoning.
Yes. If the baby looks like me, and this baby version of Ashibe grew up to be Ashibe, therefore I can grow up to be Ashibe, and then I'll be able to go and buy an ice lolly myself.
Oh, dear.
That's pretty much it. A lot more gags, like two situations, the baby and the ice lolly, and...
I liked all the bits with the dad with his... I assume that's like a comedy bit where he's just balancing on his belly.
Yes.
Like, I forgot those statues on the corners of pagodas.
Oh, yeah, I know which ones you mean, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of them now. But, and he falls asleep in that position.
And Seagal Kun was sobbing on an aeroplane, I think, today, wasn't he?
That kid's great.
I assume at some point he's going to meet that Yeti creature, which is in the opening credits.
Yeah, the Yeti that punches a dude who looks like Jesus. I'm not sure what's going on there, but I'm interested to find out.
Did you watch this, Anthony, or have you given up?
I'm afraid I didn't.
It got like a reverse Muko joke with Gomer deciding that it'll grow up to be a Shiba rather than wanting a Shiba to turn into a seal. And now the seal understands. It doesn't talk, but it does seem to. We do get his thoughts.
Internal monologue through. I assume that it's the same lady who voices it or something, isn't it?
I think, was the voices or was it just like thought bubbles?
It's thought bubbles, but sometimes they're like, and then Gomer taught this thing.
Okay, could be.
It's not literally the seal's thoughts. It's someone describing the seal's thoughts.
Yeah, it worked so well, I didn't even hear that there was a person.
Yeah, that's the thing, like.
And it still looks great. For a kid's show, it looks...
For such a basic-looking thing, yeah.
Yeah, the simple designs mean that they can sort of keep up the quality all the way through. Mm. And the opening credits, there's like the bits with them jumping over the puddle with the reflections. Top-notch stuff. Let's go through the other shorts while we're here.
Sure.
A late surprise entry for this week's episode.
Yes.
OG Sad and Marshmallow returned with what I believe
was... There was more.
A OVA episode. Hige-san...
So is this like a pitch for a new one, is it?
It may have been given away with a comic, maybe.
Okay.
But because Crunchyroll are part of the production company, maybe that's why it's on the...
Mm.
I mean, that's what I think was happening. That's what people seem to be saying in the comments. But So at this point, the show has decided that it's just going to become a Philip K. Dick novel.
Is this the filthiest it's been? I think
so, yes. So yeah, basically,
possibly.
Hige-san starts having a nightmare where he's been turned into a baby. And
with a little beak.
Yeah, and Wakabayashi wants to breastfeed him and he can't stop himself.
Yeah, and she's dressed like a schoolgirl, which makes it worse.
Yeah, and then we see that she's also having the same dream, but from her point of view, it's a great dream.
Yeah, because she likes babies.
Yes, and then
she wants to have a baby.
And then we pull out, and apparently the senior one of the Marshmallow Factory employees has created a new marshmallow which lets people share a dream.
Yeah, and then it does show the shot of the special marshmallow brand or whatever, experimental marshmallows or something they were called, in both their rooms before they went to sleep.
And do they have, like, cameras on them?
No, they don't have cameras on them, but they are recording their dreams
somehow. Yes.
Yeah, they have the footage from the dreams. Like, one of the footage is Hige, like, fucking hanging himself, and I was like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck is going on? Are they making the dreams, or is it just their two consciousness put together? It makes some weird-ass shit. It's not clear.
It was an episode where you're going, what? What? What?
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't know they had that kind of technology in this universe.
Yeah, so probably best for saved as an extra episode rather than part of the main storyline.
I mean, does it make you want to watch more, though?
If it's going to be like that, I don't know. But I did like that it kept the core joke of the same dream being a nightmare to him, but being a sweet dream to her.
That was a pretty good joke, all right. Because it's like when he sees her the next day, she's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, I gotta go, gotta get out of here now. I feel really weird.
What else? Oh, today is Space Patrol Luluco, Season 2, Episode 1. In which the Earth's about to be hit by a giant meteor. So they have
that's all that's happening.
They have to go off into space, and they use... their gun forms to fire themselves into space, which means...
And the stages of the rocket, yeah.
Yeah, is it Midori, the new one? The alien girl?
I think so. I think it's, if not that, then something like that.
So she's the first one to get left behind. Then A Omega Nova gets left behind. And so it's all up to Luluco to blow up the meteor with 4 sticks of dynamite.
She just puts them down on the thing. That was great.
But then their arm gets stuck. And General Manager Overjustice says to turn into your gun form and blow it up. So she does. He's got like a plan of how it's going to get her back to Earth on a whiteboard.
He has it all worked out.
He does have it all worked out.
I like anything from like the base that shows up is like pixelated.
Yes,
like,
it's all the computer stuff is similar to how. I can't remember the character's name, but the hacker guy in Kill the Kill. Right. It's the same sort of looks
the
like
guy
a game
with the
boy.
Collar.
Yeah. And it turns out that inside the meteor was Luluko's mother, who is apparently a space pirate.
Yeah, she's what's your man, Harlock, isn't it? Based off, kind of,
if Harlock was wearing a bikini.
If Harlock was wearing a bikini and a cape, that's right, yeah.
Does she have, like, a vulture? Like, a big...
We haven't seen one because they were currently, like, entering into orbit and there was just flames everywhere. Oh. So it's hard to tell, maybe.
I kind of want to check it out just to see what...
And her mother's like berating her for not being normal. standard fucking thing. That family was obsessed with being normal, and yet her mom's a space pirate. But whatever. that's going to be the new plot of this season, I suppose.
Yeah, and there's a great line. I can't remember what it is now. When they're launching this rocket, there's a lot. One of the voiceovers is that.
One of the voiceovers is...
this is being storyboarded without a finished script or something along those lines.
Yeah. Because I was like, wait, what? I had to rewind that bit. It's like, did that just come up? It's like, we don't know what we're doing with this plot. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
But I think there's a lot to be said for anime series only lasting 3 episodes and 22 and a half minutes.
You can get a lot done.
Yeah. No unnecessary tension. Yeah, you're missing out, Anthony.
Season 3's
coming up soon.
I know, I better catch up in time. I don't know. I wasn't blown away by episode 1.
What about Tonkatsu DJ?
Oh,
episode
blow me
2?
Away, Mr. DJ.
I was going to say, yeah. this, I think, is the best thing this week.
I was really worried it wasn't going to keep up the same kind of amusement and stuff from the first episode, but I was wrong, and I'm so glad.
It was even better.
Yeah.
So the first half is he meets up with the
towel salesman,
moist towelette salesman. Yeah,
I can't remember his name.
And they go. He decides to teach Akitaro about digging. So they go to a record.
Initially, he's digging for pickles in their like pickle barrel, and it's like, oh, you're digging it. And it's like, what do you mean? It's like, oh, yeah, like when you're looking for records. It's like, DJs look for records. It's like, yeah, come on, let's go.
So they go to this record shop and they start digging and he digs out, what was it called? The Hip World, that's it.
The big butts thing.
Yes, oh, you like
DJ
butts,
Master Fry picked out the same one.
Yes. I love that thing, like the callback to DJ Master Fry. He digs out, he's like, wow. You know, it's just like... the old dude who runs the record shop and his human-speaking dog.
Yes, who barks at women. Yeah. And as soon as a woman enters the shop, he closes it.
Yeah,
that's a little too real for a record shop. That feels like something based on real life.
Yeah, I feel like I've been in one of those shops before. Oh, dear.
And as soon as she's gone away, he reopens the shop for them. Agitara doesn't know how record players work at this point.
Yeah.
Puts the record on the player and then wonders why it's not making any sound. And he's brought the record that Big Master Fry gave him with him, hasn't he?
Yeah. He has like a big reaction. Oh my god, this is something I've never
Some rare about. Grooves.
That's right.
So then the second part he meets up with his mates who all also seem to be sons of local business owners.
These are the best people.
And they don't quite understand what he's doing, but they're all behind him and they all decide to help out. His dad's going
Except
out
one.
Sister's going
who
out
doesn't do any- who doesn't do anything.
Yes.
I love that guy. He's like, I didn't do anything, but I like being thanked, so.
And they decide to have a party, but he needs some equipment, and their decks are expensive, so he goes to a pawn shop and get some ridiculously cheap ones.
So cheap.
It was like 100 yen or something.
It was
it?
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, which is what they were buying ice pops for in freaking Gomachan, so I'm guessing that's not much.
And they pop on the records that he dug, and they love it. And then he says, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'll just turn everything
The reaction shot is, are they all horrified by this music? Because I couldn't...
Yeah.
Are they liking this? Hating this?
Yeah, because they all got the expression from the cover of King Crimson's In the Court of the Crimson King. For some reason. I mean, it works. So he says, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm going to turn it all up to 10. And then the animation just breaks down as these dance.
It looks really good.
It does, yeah.
That's pretty fun. Mm.
And then Dad gets home and he's grounded for a week.
Yeah, he's to do dishes for the week. Because they get so many complaints from the neighbours.
It was a killer set.
But yeah, I love this show. This show speaks to me on some other level.
Do you want to become a DJ?
No, not necessarily. But I've bought plenty of mixtapes which sound like the stuff that he's into, so.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good fun show. I wish this had come out years ago so we could just be like, oh, we should watch this DJ show. There's 100 episodes to watch. Oh, that sounds like a lot. We'd do it anyway and love it. No. Once a week.
Once a week. I suspect there won't be 100 episodes because
no, probably not.
There's not that many chapters of the comic.
I find it weird the way it manages to be so much fun without actively making jokes all the time, you know?
No, but this one did have more actual jokes in it.
Yeah, this one did. Yeah.
Than the first episode. But yeah, there's still that absolute joy of those guys just getting down to the
loving
music.
It. Yeah. Good show.
What else we got here? Bungo Stray Dogs. This time the episode was the episode called Yokohama Gangster Paradise, unlike what Crunchyroll said last week. did this episode... Did you watch this, Anthony?
No.
Did you watch this, Dwayne?
Yeah.
Okay. The show got really violent this week.
Oh, did it?
Fucking hell. Oh. I wasn't expecting that. I'm not sure if those people are dead.
I'm not sure if one of them's a person, to be honest.
Right.
so, yeah.
How violent are we talking here?
Machine gun down.
Yeah, machine gun down. Nice. Limbs removed.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so they get hired to take care of some smugglers who've been seen lurking in an alleyway.
Yeah, I did like the way your man, I've forgotten all the bloody names. The guy who wants to commit suicide constantly was getting beaten the shit up in their server room because he was just being too silly for the entire plot. But this woman is like, you need to help us out. There's smugglers hanging out the back of our shop.
So he sends Atsushi and I can't remember the other guy's name.
The ginger intern.
Yeah, and his sister who may not exist. Because the reason his sister may not exist... is because everyone's named after authors apart from her.
Mm.
She's named after a book written by the person who the brother's named after.
Okay.
Oh, that's clever.
And we learn that his power later on is illusions. So it's possible that he's accidentally created a sister for himself.
Well, he's created a not very good one.
Because... No, but that ties into the theme of that book from looking at Wikipedia.
Oh, really?
Today. Yes.
Fucking hell. Okay.
That's pretty smart.
Hmm.
I'll give it that.
And the thing about the double suicide that Osamu Daizai keeps on mentioning this episode...
Is that an actual song?
No, but no. Okay. That's the way the real Daizai died, was in a double suicide.
Hmm. Yeah.
So he keeps asking
really
women
romantic
to...
romantic notion to him, so yeah.
Yeah.
If everything, I was wondering, was it an actual song someone had written based off that work or something?
No, maybe, but no. He basically... I think every sort of... woman he meets, apart from the sister, he asks to commit double suicide with him in this episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they basically just go away, keep an eye, take some photos. That'll be fine. They go off with this woman who's hired them. Meanwhile, Daizai's thinking to himself all the way through. They go to this alleyway, and they're like, well, it's a bit odd. Normally, smugglers like to have a way to get away. If we corner the smugglers here, there's no escape. And she goes, yeah, that's right. This was a trap to take care of you guys.
Pulls out two Uzis.
Yes.
Also, they specifically say, okay, we got a few rules in the thing, right? You got to not make the company look bad. You got to stick up for people or something like that who work for us. And also, if you see this guy, run the fuck away.
Oh, yes.
We can't deal with him.
Yeah.
The guy who looks like Bram Stoker.
Yeah, the one I thought was a woman last week who's actually a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whose power turns out to be Rashomon. We see him blowing up a police station.
Well, initially he mauls two policemen after returning some lost things, I guess as a premise for going into the police station. Yes. And then he blows up the entire place.
Yes, because the lost things was a bomb.
Yeah.
Is there the potential that one of the main characters is dead if they've been shot?
They don't appear to be at the end, no, because they get in a fight, then, yes, Aku Tagawa shows up, who's got the Rashomon power, and that forces, what's his face, what's the our main character's name again?
The Tiger Boy.
The Tiger Boy, yeah. Atsushi to turn into a tiger.
Hmm.
But then Darzai shows up and
turns off everyone's powers
and tells them to bugger off. tells Atsushi to pick himself up because he didn't want to carry three people home.
I didn't get why your man who had Rashomon was like, hey, we need to leave him alone now because he's totally won, but we'll get you next time. And it's like, she has a gun. He can't turn off gun, I think.
Unless that's her power, because she's also named after
unless her power is gun, okay.
yeah, so the other bit was early on, was that there was like a 700,000 yen prize, if you can guess
for
what...
guessing what his former occupation
was. Daisai's job was, and we learn at the end that he used to be part of this port mafia as well.
Yeah.
Hey, it sounds pretty good.
And so I'm guessing the key thing is that he's like Darzai... Oh, yeah. Has obviously at some point in the past had failed Akutagawa, which led him to be such an appalling person. He doesn't want to Atsushi to end up the same way.
Yeah, there is some kind of implication like that.
Yeah, and there's like a bounty apparently. The mafia are after the were-tiger because there's a lot of money to be made from somebody.
Yeah, he has either a bounty on his head or he's worth this much to somebody.
7 billion yen, because it was million yen. It was like a... It had to relate to the number of guessing Darzai's job.
Yeah, it's like a couple of extra fucking zeros on top of that, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, if I can give Lost Village 3 episodes...
Oh, this is
I'm sure I can give it.
Lost Village.
It sounds really good. Like, you're really... I'm more interested in the stuff in the background you mentioned with the book names.
Yeah, you have to look all that stuff up.
It sounds good.
I mean, the characters have a bit of depth in that. Yeah. The kind of thing of when they guessed... what's your man with the glasses?
Kunikida.
Yeah, when they guessed Kunikida's job, he was a math teacher. And your man's like, I can totally see that. Just him being like a real pedant about shit. that kind of thing. Like, there's a lot of fun in it, you know?
Yeah, and it's kind of got an arse fist to it as well. It's not trying to be natural. It feels...
Yeah, okay.
Because there's like in this episode, there's very few locations. It's like maybe three in the entire episode.
Well, there's the restaurant, there's the office, and there's the alleyway. I think. Yeah. And that's it, actually, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to give this over the weekend.
I think it's worth it. So far, anyway, it's going pretty good.
I mean, the first episode was by no means awful. I was kind of about it, but we'll see.
Second episode's more jokey, and this one was like, oh, it's jokey at the start, and then it's like, okay, here we go.
Shit going down. Yeah.
Also, when the shit's going down, it wasn't like tongue-in-cheek or...
Oh, no.
Oh.
Like, it's more so the guy who's the tiger kid is kind of freaking out because he does not know what to do in this situation. It's his first day on the job, like...
And he's running to the one man he was told to run away from.
Yeah, he's having a really bad first day.
I'll give this another blast.
Let's go with the thing we forgot about last week, even though Dwayne did remind me midway through the episode.
What was that?
I said I wouldn't remind you at the very end, because I was like, I seem to be wrapping up. We'll leave it at that.
Cavaderi of the Iron Fortress.
We have two episodes to talk about this.
Yes, we do.
Well.
Frightened Corpse.
You can't talk about episode 2.
You've not seen it yet.
Oh, fine.
The reason being is that I actually do like this.
I was going to say, it's 3 weeks since episode 1. I can barely remember episode 1. And I've talked about it already. I will say episode 2 is a lot better than episode 1.
Yeah, I think episode 1 was doing a lot of setup, and I think episode 2 is kind of like, you see more so where it's going to go, and the action's great, Ned.
It is,
yeah. Yeah. Really good, really good direction. Really good weight to the way the characters move. It's a really good looking show.
Yeah. I mean, I've only just watched episode 1 the other day, and I thought it was great. Way better than Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah.
Was the go-to. This is Attack on Titan. But it's just got more, it's more intrigue. It's just got so much more substance. At least from what I can tell from episode 1.
It's got the survival bit of Attack on Titan, and it's got some bits which are obviously a design nod.
But
beyond that, it's got more in common with Snowpiercer. And
yeah, I think it's I think it's trying to fulfill a similar niche to Attack on Titan, but it's adding so much
of the
like,
characters
to that
like,
format. Like you say, so like better. Snowpiercer and that kind of thing. Yeah,
it's very much a zombie show as well.
Super zombies, but yeah.
It's like George Romero's Snowpiercer.
But yeah, everyone's checking each other for bites, that kind of thing. Yeah, it has a lot of it takes a lot from a lot of different sources, but it's meshing together really well so far.
Yeah,
but the action is probably the particularly the your lass murdering zombies.
Yeah,
that one with the blades on her.
Yes, yeah.
Shoes.
Yeah,
yeah. In episode 2, she does even more murdering in a more impressive way.
When she did what she does in the end of episode 1, I was like, "Oh my god, this show!"
She is easily the biggest badass in the show so far.
And it seems like a lot of badasses just waiting to come out the woodwork. Like the guy, like the guard with the blue,
the samurai retainer.
Yeah, I like the look of him. I like the look of him.
Yeah, I don't know where he's going to go. So because he's suggesting a thing where it's like where he, if someone goes, sorry, it's. What are they called, the zombies again? Cabanes,
I think.
Cabanes, thank you. It's like if someone turns a cabanet, he's just like, okay, straight up, I don't give a fuck about you anymore, you're not human. Like, even if you've been bit, it's just like, kill yourself, you're a cabanet now. So I'm guessing he has had some trauma or shit going on in his background, but yeah, it's set up enough characters that I'm interested in them, and I'm curious as to where it's going to go, unlike Lost Village. I'm glad I watched The Lost Village first because everything else looked better in comparison.
And My Hero Academia, episode 3, Roaring Muscles. This was where the show clicked with me now.
Yeah, it seems to have settled into a decent groove.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad you are because I'm really enjoying it.
It's so this this episode, half of it is pretty much a training sequence.
Fucking Rocky training montage, man.
It is, but it's quite good because... It kind of skewers the idea of shonen training stuff. Is like,
yeah,
because he's supposed to do this specifically planned out training program that what's his face?
All Might.
All Might has planned for him, and of course, then he just behaves like a typical shonen hero. He's going, "No, I'm going to push myself further and further and further beyond that," and of course, then he just collapses because.
It's like, dude, you're overworking yourself. I fucking took into account your level of strength when we were starting this shit. Come on.
Yeah, so his training is basically, before All Might can give him, pass on his superpower, we learn that All Might's got a power which can be passed from person to person.
Because it was passed down to him, yeah.
Yes. But first of all, Izuku Midoriya needs his body improving so it can handle the power.
Otherwise your arms and legs will fly off and you'll explode.
So before the entrance exam for the high school that he's going to go wants to go to, he's got to clear up this beach full of rubbish.
And I like the thing as well. It's like, you know, a lot of people like the fucking big hero thing, like the big showy stuff. But sometimes you got to, you know, do the community service part as well. And it also reminded me, you know, the Aegean Stables, 12 Tasks,
Versities.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes you just got to clean out shit out of a stable.
Then he goes to the school, just been given the power, hasn't been told apparently how to use it.
Well, it's also like he plucks a hair out of his head. He's like, here, this is a gift. Oh, yeah, this is a gift that's earned, not a gift that's just given away freely.
Yeah, so you have now, to swallow his DNA. So,
and it's like, eat a hair. That's like the worst thing you could eat. You know, when you get like a hair caught in your teeth and stuff, it's just,
Yes, there goes the school.
For the entrance exam.
Bakugo's there. He talks to a girl, or rather a girl talks to him, and he thinks that he's talking to her.
I fucking love that reaction. It's like a girl stops him from falling with some sort of levitation, and he thinks, it's like, oh my god, I talked to a girl! And the heading of it is like, actually, she talked to you, so technically, no. Didn't happen, dude.
And he kind of mumbles all the way through the entrance lecture, so that other kid stands up and says, can you tell him to stop murmuring to himself?
Because he was doing that the whole episode, like with the taking notes on the training regime. So apparently he mumbles a lot.
And so they've all been split up into groups, and they've got to go and
play a video game.
Play a video game, yeah. Beat up robots next episode.
Sweet.
I wish there was less good shows. I've still not watched this because I've literally not had the chance yet.
I know, we're kind of spoiled for choice, aren't we?
There's a lot to be watching.
Yeah, and this looks insanely good. I don't know whether the bidding war apparently between Netflix and Funimation for this one, people were saying. I don't know whether that's driven the budget up
to make it really palatable. Bid for me. Sure. Because like, this... I have a tough time picking the best looking show.
Yeah, this and Cabinari look.
JoJo's looks great.
It does. JoJo's feels like it looks good because they know how to work with the budget.
Yeah, yeah.
To make it look...
They know exactly where to put their money. Stylistically, they schedule everything, get everything in on time to make it look good. It's made for, I assume, less of a budget, but it's everything spent exactly where it needs
to be. My Hero Academia and Cabinari the Iron Fortress look lavish.
There's bits in Cabinari where they changed the animation style, specifically with the princess one, and it looks like it was like, did they go CG all of a sudden? Because they just started drawing all of her hairs.
Cabinari reminds me of watching Sword of the Stranger. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't look that good, but it has that look and quality. But then again, Attack on Titan, I remember the first few episodes, that looked damn good, and it kind of slowly... Maybe I'm just being negative.
Attack on Titan has got the problem of the manga not looking all that hot in the first place.
Oh, God, yeah. It's.
I think we all agree, though, Tonkatsu DJ Agataro is the best-looking show.
Best-looking show of all time.
Yeah.
Well, it looks exactly like it needs to, so...
It looks exactly like the comic.
It feels like they've just got so much freedom and to just have fun with that show. And you can feel that. It comes across.
And I think the last thing we need to talk about is Concrete Revolutio.
Oh, shit.
Right. Okay.
The ones who look into space. So, this week's episode, they decided to fit two episodes worth of story into it.
Yeah, they did, but I gotta say, this season so far is really straightforward in its plot, despite all the fucking madness.
Are you sure?
It starts at point A and goes to point B, and sometimes it shows part of point B at the start of point A, but other than that, it's like, it's pretty straightforward.
So basically, one part of the story is taking place, I don't know if it's 70 or 71, but it's at the Japan Expo, where Jiro has decided to steal the helmet of Rainbow Knight from the expo.
But apparently, it's instead of it being like future technology, it's showing like a future superhero.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Technology, I guess.
And apparently that's all part of the Fumers' plan. And we learned that their plan was to create an ideal Superman for them to possess. But the chief...
Is it because the stronger the person is, the better they'll be able to hold the...
Yeah, something like that. And we also learned that they can only possess the dead as well.
Yeah, they have to kill someone before they can actually possess it. Yeah.
But it turns out that the chief has betrayed them and kind of tricks Jiro into first killing... Well, first of all, they kill the bodies they're currently occupying get destroyed when something huge falls on top of them, and then they all possess the chief's body.
The chief's new body. Yeah. I forgot about that guy. The guy who's introducing like the superhuman.
Yeah.
Not registration act or whatever it was called. I can't remember.
And they do explain to Jiro why that he blocked it because of how it was going to make superhumans to be classed as not human, and therefore none of the laws applying to humans apply to superhumans.
Mm.
But he kind of lets them take control of the body so that Jiro will destroy the body. And so none of them have got bodies at this point. And he basically says,
"No dead bodies around for them.
We'll go into your arm and we'll fade away, but we'll stop the whatever's in your arm from going crazy."
Yeah, they basically allow him to control, I'm going to call it Godzilla, the Godzilla that lives in his arm, that kind of thing. And that explains, like, from the prior episode, it's like, wait a minute, you got, like, the three smoke dudes, because the flames were the three different colors. Was there a fourth smoke dude?
Well, there may be, because we all get, there's a line somewhere in this episode where they mentioned that, I can't remember the guy's name, the American superhero, is apparently half human, half fumer.
Yeah, Master Ultima?
I think that's his name, yeah.
Yeah.
I keep wanting to call him Master Sigma, but yeah, Master Ultima is, yeah. Because we knew he was half human, half alien, but apparently he's half fumer. I don't know how that works, but maybe that explains why...
I guess a fumer possessing someone's body could have...
Possibly, but maybe that's why he needs, like, the containment suit or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because maybe he can't hold himself together. But he also reveals that part of what made him change his opinion was learning that Rainbow Knight was just a normal human. He had no superpowers at all. He was just a guy dressed up like a superhero.
And drove around on a motorbike being fucking awesome.
Yes.
Like, when Ijiro reseals his helmet, he's like, wait a minute, there's like nothing in this helmet. It's not like a super tech helmet that like with lasers and shit. It's just a fucking helmet, a motorcycle helmet. A cool one, but you know.
Yeah. And the other part of the story is that one of the Angel Stars.
Yeah, is going around murdering aliens disguised as humans.
Yes, which is against the law.
Yeah.
But it's they also don't want. No, it's against the law to be an alien disguised as a human, but it's also against the law to go around murdering them.
Yeah.
And she's trying to find a fumer to send her into space. Because. So the Angel Stars are now broken up. Only one of them is still on the books with the Imperial Ad Agency.
She's a solo act now, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently there's a scandal between... And I can't remember the name. Funny is the one who's committed suicide.
I thought it was Fanny.
Well, it's Funny or Fanny. I don't know.
Okay.
It was Funny when I first watched the subtitles. However, when I first watched the subtitles, there were also missing lines. They may have improved it since then.
Well, it sounds funny.
Yeah, so it's, what's his name? The leopard guy? God damn it. Jaguar and Fujito.
Faruka.
Fucking ghost kid.
Yeah,
I can't think of his goddamn name. They're like just doing the things where they're looking up records and trying to figure out what's going on. And Jaguar puts it together like straight away. But Jiro does not know that lesbians are a thing. He's like, wait, how could you have a scandal with going off with someone in your band member? You're an all-girl band. And she's like, what the fuck, dude? But I guess that would have been a bigger scandal in like the 60s or 70s, yeah. Whenever that came out. Yeah.
So then Amy and Kiko go to the Imperial Agency and they get insulted by... Yoshiaki Satomi, and if we were ever in doubt that he was the villain, we're not in doubt anymore at this point.
Why, because he's just swanning about like the villain, and also he has the head of a cobra on his stick.
Yes, and he's also
on
like,
his walking stick.
We want to support superhumans, but not superhumans like you. But we'll...
Oh yeah, he's like, we're not into demons and witches, thanks.
Yes. But we'll let you hunt down this rogue one. And we also, Jiro rescues from... This underground hospital that Judas is now running. Judas is now dressed like a Super Sentai villain.
I thought he was dressed like a superhero version of like Blackjack or something, but with like a robot.
Oh, could be like that, but yes, if you look at the Doctor Man, who's the villain from Bioman.
Okay, I thought that his half mask was supposed to be like Blackjack's face.
Could be that yes. Could be Yeah, I think you might be right. I think he's Blackjack, but is part of it. But that's probably part of the DNA of those.
Yeah, he's a bunch of Tetsuga things stuck together anyway. So
he's very much a Sentai villain because apparently he's also augmenting superhumans so they can turn into giant monsters with Jiro's blood.
Yeah, he's using the G blood type. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, so...
Anthony, again, this is very straightforward in how it's presented, I swear to God.
This is one episode.
It's like two episodes, yeah.
Yeah, so basically at this point, Jiro's using the Rainbow Knight's helmet to drink water out of.
As a bucket to get water, yeah.
And so ends up clashing with the girl from the Angel Stars when she grows into a giant armoured woman.
When she realizes that the fumers are in his arm. And it's like,
your
fucking arm. Because he was just trying to help her get away from the thing. She's like, oh, wait, you got the aliens that specifically I'm looking for. And she turns into, like... The woman from Attack of the 50... Is a 50-foot woman?
I think it's specifically...
When she grows up initially, she's naked.
Yes.
So I just thought it was a reference to
that. Yeah, is that. And then she gets the armor, and then which is a reference to Silver Mask, I think, is what French Toast points out. Because there was a French Silver Mask remake in 2006 where it was a woman rather than a man.
Okay.
And I think the aliens that she's hunting down resemble aliens from Silver Mask.
Oh, okay, that's pretty good. I think
at least in their alien form. Obviously, one of them resembles McDonald's mascots.
One of them is a McDonald's mascot. One of them is... It looks like... I thought it looked like Mechagodzilla's head. And there's like a three-eyed werewolf man.
Yeah.
There's a few different weirdos in there. And I was like, all of these guys I know are specifically things on the hit list.
So he fights her in Equus. Equus now has a Kamen Rider scarf. Oh.
Well, it has a Jiro scarf. And it has a tail as well.
Yeah.
Isn't Yeah.
I don't know if it's a tail or if it's just the scarf flying back that far.
No, I think like there was like a jet of flame coming out of its butt, and now it has a little horse tail as well.
Amy and Kiko show up. Jackie, the one remaining member of the Angel Stars, shows up as well, but they managed to get everybody away safely.
Yeah, Jiro kind of packs her off in a Jeep with the other two members of Angel Stars.
Who are now out of work, yeah.
And, yeah, there's a few other things happen in this one, like Kiko and what's the yokai one's name again?
Emmy.
Where they're really worried that Jiro's into this lady that he's carrying around in the princess style. Because she's naked for most of the... Well, not naked. She's wearing her bra and underwear. But she's in a sheet for most of it because he got her out of a hospital. And they're really worried. It's like, is he into this lady? It's like, I don't know. So that's kind of a good... It's them working together to get the man that they're both competing over. It's kind of odd. This one's really good.
Yeah, it kind of... You've got the thing of, like, superhumans as communists with the body snatcher thing.
Mm.
But it's kind of like if the body invasion of the body snatchers, if the alien, one of the aliens has gone, oh, these humans are okay. Let's not destroy.
Yeah, one of them goes like, these guys are all right. And I liked I've forgotten her name again. The green haired member of Angel Stars, her reaction to Jiro constantly talking about justice.
Yes.
It's like, dude, are you a fucking child or what? Like, I just want revenge.
And to go to space.
Was she and the other one also a reference to like Sailor Moon? Because the two that were going out in Sailor Moon, because I think they had the same color hair.
Could be. I don't know. And it's kind of like then the other story is like the idea of superhumans as youth culture, because the Imperial ads kind of want to manage what superhumans are and remove anything that doesn't fit in their view.
So yeah, you got the three kind of sides, as it were, are like Jiro and his guys who just want superhumans to fight for justice as they do in comic books and that kind of thing. The agency are basically like, if you don't work for us, then we're going to like shut you down or mind wipe you or do something horrible to you. And the ad agency just wants to make money off them for the most part.
Yes.
I'm not sure if there's much more evil than that on top of it, but yeah, they want to monetize it, certainly.
Sounds incredibly complex.
Kind of is.
Sure is. Next week, it's the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. So that should be pretty good. Superhuman Olympics, maybe. I don't know.
Which is the first guest episode. That's the one written by your Nakashima from Kill la Kill and Gurren Lagann.
Oh.
It's weird that basically the first season was kind of setting up this idea that you take the concept of a superhero and it's like, Is it like a really a fictional thing that you can look at and see how that can improve real life? Or is it a fictional thing we're just bringing out the new Avengers movie to make money. We're not doing it for any other reason than that. Or is it like something that needs to be like regulated, because you can't have these wild fantasy ideas going around. So that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think it ties into kind of like the... Particularly like the superhumans as youth culture and wanting, not wanting undesirable elements within that, kind of relates to like the backlash against Go Nagai and Shonen Jump in 68. Mm. But I think the idea is that it's like no matter how much you try and remove that stuff from pop culture, it's always going to be there. There's always going to be a subversive element.
It's kind of nice that it like literally links those kind of two. There's two kind of thoughts about it as in the world that they've created.
Yeah, because if you read the Kamen Rider comics, it quickly becomes into like complaining about pollution and.
They're actually actively trying to help.
What a horrible place Japan was in the early 70s, but with monsters to fight.
Yeah.
So that's Concrete Revolution. So you've now got 15 episodes to catch up with, Anthony.
I'm sorry. It's
you've got 15 episodes and about a decade.
This is what you wanted from Erased. It's complicated stories. No, twists,
I did. But...
Time travelers, even.
Robot horses. Sorry, robot centaurs. But
if the next anime season decides to say it right, Anthony, we're not releasing anything you like. so you can catch up on this stuff. I'll be like, yeah, it's fine.
And there's one really great scene. The bit where he kills the host, the politician host body, looks absolutely awesome.
Oh my god, the animation in that is gorgeous. I rewound that whole scene just to watch it again because everything got so loose and, yeah, it's really nice. They know where to put the animation budget anyway. And even the still to this when like they're showing just the background of the offices and that kind of thing. I love the colors they use and just the textures and everything. Really pretty show.
Yeah. All right, okay, so that's one less thing to watch this week is Naiva. You're off the menu.
Wait, that's gone off the menu and freaking oh, Lost Village is still there.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Because Naiva was off the menu this week as well, to you said, oh, it's got much better on episode 2.
Oh, fair enough.
It's your fault.
Ugh, now I just got to pray that lovely Muko comes back so we can get rid of Lost Village. All is forgiven.
Well, I won't be talking about Lost Village next week because I'll be the only one watching it. Unless,
oh,
okay. Unless
Niles. I'm the biggest fan of that. Lost Village.
Yeah, okay.
It will be like Joker. I'll be watching it and not talking about it.
Fair enough.
Joker was good, though. It was all about Hong Kong action movies.
Oh, cool.
The recurring joke was the director was basically, whenever something went wrong, he was like, we leave that in. We can work with it. Righty-ho, that ends this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back next week to hang once more with the Let's Go gang. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.